910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Alvinger. The jury in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial was split down the middle before agreeing to convict the president's son on all three charges. But one of the jurors tells ABC News there was no political bias in their decision.
The verdict, I believe, was not politically motivated.
Hunter Biden could get up to 25 years in prison, but legal analysts say he's likely to do little time behind bars, if any. The president headed to Delaware to be with his family after taking part in a gun safety event, which he targeted some Republicans he says are blocking what he calls common sense gun legislation. Police in Atlanta say four people were shot and wounded at a shopping mall.
We believe everyone will survive at this point. Those that were taken to Grady Hospital were classified as critical.
And Chief Darren Scheibaum, an off-duty officer, was shot and wounded the suspect. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Downtown Milwaukee business owners want the Republican National Convention protest zone moved. That's after efforts fell short to ban guns inside the convention's so-called soft zone, which includes the planned free speech zone. Bar and restaurant owners say they're worried about potentially violent confrontations. Observers say four state Senate races are competitive this year as Democrats try to take the majority in as soon as 2 years.
If you don't win all four, you're okay. You can get there. If you win just two, it's really tough. That makes it challenging. So for Democrats, they want three. Three gives them a pretty good chance for 2026.
J.R. Ross of WisPolitics speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Barron County Sheriff's Department rescued two kayakers that had overturned near the Makana Dam on Sunday afternoon. According to a press release from the department, the two kayakers were found hanging onto a tree just after noon, trying to resist the heavy current from the dam, and officers were able to use rescue ropes to bring the people back to shore safely. Both people were treated and released at the scene of the rescue, and authorities later recovered both of their missing kayaks downstream. Nurses at Ascentia Health's 3rd Street Clinic and Patient Flow Hospital in Duluth have announced plans to vote on joining the Minnesota Nurses Association. Nurses at the 3rd Street Clinic are the latest in a string of Ascentia locations that have voted to unionize, saying they want a seat at the table to improve working conditions, get fair wages and benefits, and help decide how care is provided to their patients. Ascentia officials say they support the nurses' right to unionize, but believe they should work directly with hospital leadership. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers with a win over the Blue Jays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-1 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays. The crew had not hit a home run in the past week until Jackson Chourio did it in the third, followed by Willie Adames in the fourth inning on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Adames, deep left center, and the Brewers are going to have the lead. Number 10 for Willie.
That was a bomb. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Willie's such a competitor. I've seen him hit that same home run 20 times since I've been here. Slider kind of down in the zone, right in that same spot.
Colin Ray got the win, now 5-2 for the season. NBA, Darvin Ham coming back to the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant after a 2-year stint as the head coach of the Lakers. UConn's Dan Hurley declining an offer from the Lakers to become their next head coach. NFL, the Packers back on the practice field for the first day of their mandatory minicamp this week in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low of 50 tonight. And a mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms developing. Some could be strong with gusty winds and large hail. Highs in the low 80s. Slight storm chance for Thursday. It's 71 right now.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Lord from Patriotic Millionaires joins us at 10:33. And you're on the road with Jane and Todd in Richland Center Live. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. The number right away, Johnny Lupinacci. Johnny, speaking of, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm excited. I mean, this week is already off to, you know, banner set of shows. We had great guests yesterday. We had an awesome show and got one I've been excited for months.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. We'll get there quick, Tim, because I'm like,
we'll get there quick. But you know, here's the thing. Tomorrow night too, got to put it out there.
If you're
in Madison, check it out. Go get it to the Minocqua Brewing Tap Room. First of all, you know why, Johnny? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And if you get down there tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, it'll be a live, you know, remote cast. Tim and Johnny remote from Washington and Ohio. And then coming out of the tap room, Kirk is going to be down there, the owner, hosting the show. Guests, Heather. And you just got a great lineup of people and everybody participating in the episode. There it is. Everybody participating at Minocqua Brewing gets
they
to
can join.
Yeah, they can join in. Big thing though, big focus, registering people to vote to get them out there. But yeah, Minocqua Brewing Company tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, get down to the tap room in Madison, right across from East High School. Yeah. You go down there and hang out, have a beer. If you're like me, you have a nice one of their sodas. Yeah. You buy some t-shirts, you just enjoy yourself and meet with a lot of great people talking about truly the things that matter most. And at this point too, getting people, as many people as we can, registered to vote, because this election coming up, Johnny Lupinacci, man, we got a lot to say. All right, Johnny Lupinacci, you're excited about this episode tonight. Special guest. I got to say, yes, this is a reigniting of a relationship that was built back in the day when Busted Pencils was solely just a podcast, Rethinking Schools, which has its origins in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We teamed up back in the 2015, 2016, created a partnership where on the Busted Pencils podcast, I would feature Rethinking Schools authors. And guess what? Rethinking Schools would feature the Busted Pencils logo in their print materials too. And it was a beautiful relationship. Some of the most incredible episodes. And in fact, that new BustedPencils.com, it's about to be available. We can reissue those great episodes where we have everything about there. But tonight, Johnny, we're announcing we're back. The relationship is rekindled. Busted Pencils. Yes, Busted Pencils and Rethinking Schools together again. And our guest is a social justice educator, accomplished writer and researcher. She's an experienced consultant and speaker. Also a movement and meditation instructor, but most importantly, she is the first, the new, the only so far executive director of Rethinking Schools. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Dr. Sierra Kaler Jones. How are you, Sierra?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled about this partnership, and I can't wait to just continue highlighting the stories of social justice educators.
Oh, it is great. And I said the stuff out there, I mean, first of all, right off the bat, everybody go to Rethinking Schools, check it out, see what they're doing. Lots of amazing stuff. But Sierra, so you're the first executive director. Tell us and the listener, what does the executive director of Rethinking Schools do?
Oh, yes. Well, pretty much anything that you can think of, I am involved in it. I help to oversee the business and the operations side of the organization, the nonprofit aspects or aspects of the organization, as well as the content and the editorial. So you'll oftentimes find me with my fundraising hat on. That's a huge part of my job. But I also get to write for the magazine. And I'm excited to talk a little bit today about the spring issue of the magazine, as well as one of my newest pieces in there, Teaching Dance for Transformation, because I come to education work as a dance teacher.
Think about this, the question. So Rethinking Schools promoting a social justice view of education, particularly teaching. What does that, I mean, tell us, like, Rethinking Schools, the connection, the commitment, the mission to social justice and education. Talk more about that.
Absolutely. So first, I just want to honor Rethinking Schools' almost 40-year rich history. The founding editors saw a curriculum that was whitewashed and dominated by corporate textbooks, and now we're the nation's leading grassroots publisher for racial and social justice in education. And right now we're navigating a difficult time. There are anti-history bills, there's book bans, anti-LGBTQ plus legislation, there's attacks on educators, and really just the promotion of distrust in public schools is rampant. And so my vision and our collective vision at Rethinking Schools is really to encourage and to fuel grassroots efforts in schools to build a broad democratic movement for social and environmental justice. And we do this by providing resources like our books and our magazines. We have community spaces like our webinars, writing retreats, and study groups. And these all help sustain educators and remind them that they're not alone in the fight for social justice, whether that be in their communities or in their classrooms. And my vision for Rethinking Schools is that it will be every educator's go-to resource for inspiration, strategy, and community.
And that one, Johnny Lupinacci, I'm going to let you get in here because I know this is important, but, you know, just to help you, my first remembering of Rethinking Schools was the Rethinking Columbus. And yes. So just to frame that for the listener or the teacher out there saying, yeah, the Rethinking Columbus. At this point now, people are like, oh, yeah, everybody knows all these alternative sides to Columbus. But it was Rethinking Schools that really took, you know, combined with Howard Zinn's, you know, history of people's history of the youth, but putting together that content that allowed us to look at this Christopher Columbus figure and rethink what it means to teach students about this whole concept of discovery and what discovery might mean if you are the ones being discovered who went, we knew we were here all along.
Right.
Nobody discovered anybody. And so that reframing. So that's, again, Rethinking Schools. Johnny, that was my introduction, Johnny, to Rethinking Schools was Rethinking Columbus.
No, I can't. I mean, excellent. I went through the Rethinking Columbus stuff as a kid, like as a student. That's, I mean, not to out you, Tim, on, on your wisdom, but that is truly, if I was thinking about my first, you know, encounter, like my first real moment with Rethinking Schools, I wouldn't even have recollected that because, you know, I actually later realized, oh, this is the stuff that we learned in Detroit Summer, that we were learning from social justice educators in Detroit who were active with Rethinking Schools. And I will say, like, since my day one in classroom, Rethinking Schools has been, you know, a key part of being a math teacher, of being a social justice educator.
Yes.
There were so many years where, like, to be a teacher in Detroit, if you were responsible and you responded to the needs of students in our community, or you were from that community, and I was both, right? The reality was, it didn't matter what subject you were teaching, you were a social justice educator.
Mm.
I mean, there was just really no, you either had to be on the side of continuing oppression, or, you know, fighting it by any means necessary. And that meant, you know, being an educator, that and asking the questions like, where can we get support on this? Because it wasn't in teacher education. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, there were little snapshots of it, but for all, I can say 25 some years, that Rethinking Schools has been my go-to, not only in the curriculum that it offers, it's like that my own learning about each topic. So listener out there, if you're not familiar with Rethinking Schools, like as a teacher, if there's a topic I'm like, I'm not sure I know enough about this to teach it, Rethinking Schools says, we got you, because we are teachers teaching teachers, and we are learners leading learners. So all of the professional development too, it's like forever. I'm heart crushing. I'm a big fan, but this is the thing. Every PD I was involved with as a participant in Rethinking Schools changed how I taught, because it was teachers that would demo, get this out there, teachers, PD, where they actually demoed for us the lesson we would teach our kids. Like, we went through it and we learned so much about the topic and how to teach it together. I was like, oh, y'all need to certify teachers. That's what's up. This is the stuff. So I'm crushing hard. Sierra, thanks for bringing this back together with Busted Pencils. But folks, for listeners, like, this is stuff that's been around. It's not brand new. It's got long connection with veteran teachers, with new teachers, with activists, with social justice educators, you know, people across diverse communities who are coming together to really make this work, make it doable. Mm-hmm. I always got that question, like, you're a math teacher, what do you mean you teach about social justice? And it was like, oh, here's how we do it. And check it out. I'm not making this up. Like, here's all these really cool lessons that Rethinking Mathematics has. So other math teachers kind of have that entry point too. And it's really been about building a movement. So thank you, Sierra, for the work you do, for being part of that movement, and for being a leader in that movement. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. And yes, absolutely. I feel the same. Being a dance teacher and infusing social justice into my lessons has really come from Rethinking Schools and learning from other educators from across content areas. There's so much that we can learn from each other and together. And I'm just so appreciative of you mentioning how our professional development, our webinars are really interactive, because we want people to be in dialogue with each other, right? We're not engaging in the banking model of education. We are really aimed at education for liberation, and how do we get liberated together? I continue to learn so much from the lessons as I read them, both pedagogically about things that I can use in my work as a dance teacher, but also just the content area and the content knowledge. There are historical events that I have never learned before. And as an adult, now I'm able to learn that from my colleagues and my comrades at Rethinking Schools and all of the contributors and educators that are a part of our network.
Oh, our guest, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones, she is the executive director of Rethinking Schools. We are announcing, yes, the partnership reignited, not new, but just bringing it back together, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools. And when we get back, Sierra, though, too, you hit on a term, the banking model of education. We might need to define that. Yeah, banking model education, defining that when we get back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Ah, yeah, there it is. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education, 855-752-4842. Dr. Sierra Kelly Jones, hey, you're the dance teacher. Could you put together a dance for a little Rise Against music like that you hear in the background there, Sierra?
I love it. I was just about to comment on I love the musical aspect of this.
It's a huge part of the show. And you're talking about that. It's like education, music, dance, you know, and Johnny even talking about mathematics. Well, you're talking, you know, we're here, the Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, partnership, fully engaged again. Talking about though too, the remembering, we're all kind of talking about this going like, man, it was Rethinking Schools that got me hooked on this. It got me thinking about that. But then, you know, Sarah, you talked about, you know, we're not doing the banking model of schools. And that to me just sounds like that's an opportunity right now to say, like, what do you mean we're not doing the banking model of schools?
Yeah. So the banking model concept comes from Paulo Freire and the Pedagogy of the Oppressed. So highly recommend that folks engage with that text and with the pedagogy behind that. And basically the banking model is the idea that the teacher has all of the knowledge and the information and just makes deposits into students as if they are a bank, right? And so we actually counter that narrative to center students' lived experiences and their expertise about their communities, what's going on in their lives, and really making sure that that's central. I actually write a bit about this in my piece, Teaching Dance for Transformation, where I talk about my unlearning process as a dance teacher, whereas, you know, growing up being a dancer, there was always this pedagogy of listen to the instructor, 5, 6, 7, 8, do it again, stand up straight, look at yourself in the mirror, it has to be perfect. And then I ended up perpetuating that same narrative to my students until I had a really hard moment where the students, I was trying to encourage them to practice improv-ing, and I turned on the music and they just stared at me. And I wide eyes. And I realized that I had made the mistake of not actually ever creating opportunities for creative expression and for them to be free in their bodies, which is not who I wanted to be as an educator and not what I want my pedagogy to be at all. And so my piece is really talking to educators about this process of unlearning and moving away from the banking model and moving into liberation. And so now as a dance teacher, I always say there are no mistakes, only solos. And I ask critical questions of students. I always say, you know, what do you notice? What do you wonder? What's coming up in your body as you do this movement? What does this feel like to you? What story are you trying to tell? And so really framing education as an exchange of information, of an exchange of dialogue, because I learned so much from my students. And that's what we continue to promote in all of our articles at Rethinking Schools, and all of the resources and materials try to help educators frame that pedagogy for their students so that we can create spaces that are joyful and creative and critical and liberatory and make learning fun.
You may want to call me dancing a solo. I'm telling you, it's a mistake. It's a mistake if you see me dancing. It's like, no way. I don't know about you.
Shared some videos, and there's a rumor out there you're starting a TikTok. So, he's going to be starting the trends. I can tell. Sierra, thanks. What a beautiful story that also teaches us here tonight. So, listener, like, what a gift, Dr. Sierra Keller Jones here. You know, sharing that aha moment we have as teachers, where we're like, whoa, how we were socialized to teach isn't necessarily how we want to be as teachers. So we can, you know, sometimes we can know better, but it's really hard to do better. And that sharing that aha moments, telling that story, you know, I bet it resonates with listeners out there who are educators who had those moments, and they know how hard it is to teach different than we often experience because we're socialized into sort of that programming. I always call it school seeps in, you know, like how we learn to dance or how I learned, whether I'm coaching hockey or whatever, like how we were taught starts to seep in and those voices come through us.
Yes.
Both the good and the bad. Mm. Right? So part of our job as educators, right, especially as, you know, as you shared, is navigating that, being a learner, to be open to the hearing stories, telling stories. And I think that's like a big piece, if you can speak to before we go to break in a few minutes here, is just telling our listener about like the power of stories. Like, why is Rethinking School so narrative based? Oh, you know, like I bet there's some meaning behind that. So if you can kind of let our listener know why would they want to check out the stories that are told through Rethinking Schools?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you asked this question, because my heart's work is storytelling for social justice. It's what brought me to Rethinking Schools. The first time that my name actually appeared in a Rethinking Schools magazine was in the back section where we have the resources. And so a colleague had asked if I would write for the resource. And I felt so empowered when I got the magazine and I saw my name in print. And so we are at a time where, with this anti-history legislation, where they're actually trying to ban this critical history. We've heard from educators that they no longer are able to use our materials in their classrooms, even though they love our materials. And so we help teachers and activists tell stories about their exemplary work and about strategies of resistance. Our work is really situated in power building through narrative change by centering the stories and the expertise of teachers and activists, especially because we know that corporate media doesn't cover our stories, or they only tell half truths about our stories, right? They're more focused on sharing the stories of the Moms for Liberty, but they're not sharing the stories of the resistance. And so our magazine and our books, they really forge a space for social justice educators to tell our stories in our own way without being beholden to the whims and politics of corporate media. We publish stories like how the Portland teachers led the longest K-12 strike in decades, about how elementary school students are using an engineering unit to design a model community where everyone gets what they need, stories about how students are creating their own book clubs to read literature that's been missing or banned in school, about teachers who are discussing climate injustice with students and helping them create art that reflects the world that they want to build. And so we're really highlighting stories of love, solidarity, and defiance. We're not just critique, break down, but we're also talking about what could be possible and what is possible, what's actually happening, because we really also want to provide that hope and that inspiration, especially at a time when teachers are being doxxed, they're being terminated, they're being attacked. We hope that we can be a space of solace, of comfort, of community to remind teachers that we can do this. Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm excited and empowered again. But you know, and I had to put, I love your quote, sharing stories of the resistance. What a great tagline to Rethinking Schools, sharing stories of the resistance. And it is, it's the story, right? It's the story. Yeah, take it. It was your quote. So you don't have to borrow your own words. They're yours, Sierra. Oh, it's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Our guest, Dr. Sierra Keller Jones, and Rethinking Schools Executive Director, the relationship, the partnership, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, back together again. Yeah, and we're going to be doing a lot more bringing the stories. In fact, when we get back, we're going to jump into the current story that we're occupying right now and do a little bit of talking about the current issue. Get ready. We're going to do a little bit, you know, what's going on Rethinking Schools right now. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. More when we get back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waupun says there's no need to close the local state prison. Four inmates died there in the last year. Ron Bishop says the problems at the prison are for state officials to solve. Wisconsin small business owners say they're worried about proposed cuts to the Affordable Care Act. Krissa Ostenzo owns an optometry clinic with her husband in Ladysmith. She says the premium cap from recent adjustments put health insurance within people's reach.
We always just had to encourage our employees to get health insurance and try to pay them enough to do it. And it really wasn't until the 8% that we succeeded in that. And they started all having health insurance.
Temporary ACA premium caps are set to expire at the end of next year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new addiction recovery house opened earlier this week in Superior. According to a WDIO report, the Highlands Restoration and Wellness Home opened its doors on Monday, hoping to provide women struggling with addiction with a cozy, home-like environment in which to seek treatment. Women will be allowed to stay at the house for anywhere from 3 months to a full year, and the recovery house will offer mental health and substance abuse programming. The home will have room for 16 clients at a time. Northwestern High School in Maple is long overdue for an update on their turf field, and a Cenovus Energy donation will help them get there. According to a Northern News Now report, the field hasn't been updated in over 15 years, making it the oldest turf football field in the entire state. Thanks to their fundraising efforts and the $50,000 donation from Cenovus Energy, school officials say they're now just a couple of weeks away from having the newest field in the state. The new field will also allow the school to host playoff games. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. When given the chance to ride or die this past weekend, the box office chose to ride thanks to the latest installment of Bad Boys Ride or Die. The Will Smith comeback vehicle and fourth film in the Bad Boys franchise raked in $56 million at the domestic box office and topped $105 million globally. A nice boost for theater owners who are hoping for more good fortune next weekend with the release of Inside Out 2. The animated sequel is expected to pull in $110 million globally. Kid and family-friendly films have kept the box office at least somewhat respectable this summer with the strength of Garfield and John Krasinski's If. Rounding out the top five from this past weekend were Garfield in second place, If was number three, horror film and directorial debut for Ishana Shyamalan's The Watchers opened in fourth place, and it was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes at number five. Bad Boy's 97% approval rating with audiences should give the film and box office legs for weeks to come. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Maybe a stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low of 50 tonight. And a mixture of sunshine and clouds for tomorrow, afternoon and evening storms developing. Some could be strong with gusty winds and large hail. Highs in the low 80s. Slight storm chance for Thursday. It's 71 right now.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we're live in Richland Center with our friend Jane Matinair on the road. Also, Phil Nee from WRCO, WRCE, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
are back. Oh, Busted Fences, Fully Leaded Education Talk here with Dr. Sierra Caller-Jones, Director of Rethinking Schools, educator extraordinaire, social justice educator, storyteller, right, dance teacher, all kinds of things exciting. Listeners, we're glad that you're here with us. And in fact, before we get further into what's happening at Rethinking Schools, especially the spring issue, kind of the way Rethinking Schools plays a role in our social justice education world, get into that. But before we jump into that, we got caller LA Tom on the line. So Tom, how are you, man?
Hey guys, I'm doing good. First off, I am an FDR Democrat and proud of it. I have a couple questions for your guest. One is, why do you think it is? I know if it bleeds, it leads, but you know, we had more protesters out against George War criminal Bush's illegal war than they maybe have at a Tea Party that's got about 5 or 10 people there. Just like your movement versus these so-called people for liberty. What is it that we can do as a movement to really make it so the corporate media has to see it, number one? And then number two, I have a question in terms of, are we also adopting some of the same things from places like Finland, where they had the worst education system in the world, and now probably one of the best education systems in the world? Just curious on those 2 points, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you guys so much.
Great. So to answer your first question, thank you, LA Tom, for calling in. To answer your first question, I think one of the most important pieces of all of this, this whole movement, is political education. I think that there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation that is spread, especially in this increasingly technological era. So it's really critical that we continue to have conversations and dialogue, but actually engage with history, because that's what we do at Rethinking Schools, try to make those historical connections between movements that of the past that are many of them still ongoing, but are just in different forms, and then what's happening today. So I think political education is really crucial. I think also carving out spaces for us to create our own media, like we are here on the podcast and like Rethinking Schools is doing, right? When corporate media doesn't want to share our stories, we have to continue to be very vocal. And to your second question, you know, I can't answer too in depth, but I'll just say that education continues to morph and continues to change. And so we have to make sure that we are being really thoughtful and really critical about protecting and preserving our public education system so that we can get to something close to a democracy.
Yeah. I said, Busted Pencils, too. Guess what? We are the antidote to corporate media right now, because we're bringing the stories to people. We're not reacting. We're not defending. We truly are bringing the stories. And so, Tom, my answer to that is keep spreading the word, because the more listeners we have to programs like this, the more readers of Rethinking Schools, the more is out there. It's like we are the movement. And so I love that Tom referred to us as the movement. And guess what? You know, one of the secrets to the movement is just simply realizing that we have to support each other in all of the ways that we do this work. So, all right, Sierra, the edition that's out right now, this is, you know, sensitive issue, has brought up lots of emotions, lots of knowledge people thought they had, lots of people going, I didn't know that type of situations.
Yes.
I was wondering too, if you could just say, like, so what type of feedback are you getting? And this is teaching and learning about the Israel and Palestinian conflict. Mm-hmm. What's the reaction that you're getting for this issue?
Yeah. So I will say that there has been so much overwhelming support for our Teach Palestine issue. educators are hungry for the resources and the conversations. We actually had a very generous donor donate enough so that we could distribute 750 copies of the magazine for free. And they went within a day because people wanted to distribute them at rallies. They wanted to give them to fellow union members. They wanted to give them to other educators and professors in their teacher education program. I mean, it just, it flew out of the storage and the shipping. Because people really, really, really were hungry for it. And we actually had a follow-up Teach Palestine webinar. We had thousands of people register and hundreds of people show up asking for more and more and more resources. And so I'll just share with your listeners that in the issue, we have articles such as Bill Bigelow's lessons on the roots of violence in Palestine. We have Jesse Hagopian's article on the connections between the attacks in the United States on teaching about race and gender to the attacks on the erasing the historical memory in Palestine. But we also have poetry. We have poetry by Naomi Shihab Nye. And we also have a Palestinian high school student who talked about her experiences in the aftermath of October 7th. So we at Rethinking Schools are in solidarity with all of the folks, all of the brave educators who are teaching the truth about Palestine, and the students who are walking out of class, who are forming encampments to demand an immediate ceasefire.
Johnny Lupinacci, man, jump in there, my friend.
And I love it because, you know, it is for us as teachers, you know, unfortunately, I have to say, like, my entire teaching career, there's been violent conflict, major violent conflict, that as a social studies teacher, even when I'm teaching math, right, current events is part of who we are as young people and how we develop and our political voice and our identity. And we are, the three of us, and probably every listener out there, are talking right now and listening in amidst the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes. Now, it's built on the shoulders of tremendous work of the civil rights and going way back even to, you know, advocates for many, many years. But this is the moment young people are saying the world really needs to be different. But I know as a teacher, like, teaching about conflict is never easy. It's almost always controversial. Mm-hmm. And there's, like we mentioned before, there's always all kinds of misinformation and disinformation that we don't want to perpetuate. And so, you know, even when we don't, something is as complex as the situation in Palestine, it's also simple. And it's happening right amidst all of our, you know, organizing and all of our addressing social injustice. Right. And injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we know that. But then having enough facts and having enough encouragement and support to bring it into our classrooms, I was grateful to see the Rethinking Schools spring issue come out because they're trusted people in our, you know, in our learning community as educators for social justice, making those connections like Jesse's made, you know, connecting transformative teaching to dance. You know, doing the kind of poetry reading that sometimes we just need it to be a little bit lighter and more attuned to the aesthetic and our emotional experience of what conflict means to us from afar, but it's also really near, right? And so this is complicated stuff. So appreciate Rethinking Schools jumping in and saying, we're going to continue to support people, but we're going to take that brave step and say it's never easy to teach about, you know, justice to everyone. It's never easy to do that work. And connecting it to the Black Lives Matter movement, connecting it to what I get most hope from, young people, right? The stories that young people are telling about the world they want.
Yes.
Right. And being able to teach the like you said, the politics of how did we get here? What's going on and how do we get here? And how can we do differently? So really great issue. Lots of energy around it. I know we're going to continue to have that discussion with authors because, you know, teachers have asked us, you know, we're in and out of so many schools and we have teachers that are listeners. They ask us, how do we teach about this? And you know what? I know for a lot of us, we've been teaching about violent conflict our entire teaching career. And it just is getting harder and harder and harder. So, you know, I'm wondering, like, stories of hope from it, right? Like, I love the support, love it all. But, you know, those that there's no silver lining in the kind of conflict that's going on. But what kind of testimonies, what stories can you share that even just the authors and yourself being part of this issue, how it felt energizing to sometimes like something we feel like, how can we even help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just share that after the webinar, we got so much feedback from folks who were just saying thank you. Educators that felt refueled, not just the emotional refueling that happens when you're in community with other folks, diving into topics and having discussion, but the refueling of leaving as if, okay, now I feel like I can actually have this conversation with students. And I think, you know, we at Rethinking Schools, we don't shy away from teaching about difficult topics because we know that young people deserve an honest and critical education. And I'm not going to overshadow the fact that it's also been really difficult in teaching this because so many of the educators that are part of our community are being terminated for this, are getting attacked by parents and community members and even within the school building. And so that's also a reality that we have to hold. We have to hold those two truths that we have to teach this. And it's so critical and important to be brave, but we also have to also recognize the reality of what teachers are facing today. And it's all at a dismantling of public education. Mm-hmm. But I'll share just a quick anecdote that students are going to talk about these topics whether we teach them or not. Mm-hmm. And so are our classes going to be those liberatory spaces? Are they going to be the brave spaces where students can feel comfortable to share their opinions, to work through things that are hard, right? Because I think that that's part of the role of education is to be able to work through the things that are hard. And I'll say, even as a dance teacher, I'm in the middle of teaching dance class. My third graders are in the corner and I can hear them talking about the conflict, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're talking about these in community spaces. They're going to be talking about them at school. So we have to continue to lean into our bravery to have these critical conversations, these discussions and the dialogue, and to present the history so that students can make those critical connections between the history and what's happening today, because they're going to rise up. They're going to do it anyway, right? That's what young folks do. They continuously lead the way. And that's what's giving me hope as well. Just seeing the rallies, seeing the conversations, seeing the encampments of them calling to end the occupation, right? Because that's what they do. And so as educators, we have to support them. And as Rethinking Schools, we support the educators so that they feel equipped and that they feel confident heading into those questions and have been able to talk to other educators and to workshop things and to share some of their fears, but also to share some of their hopes as well.
Man, there it is right there. Man, just barely getting into it. Our guest, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones, she's the executive director of Rethinking Schools, the partnership, Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools. We're here. In fact, we're talking about this at break. We may as well announce it. A lot of the authors in this episode really deserve an extended long podcast. And Sierra, I'd say this right now for any of the authors for any issue, but this issue, let's schedule them and get them down so that we can really talk deeply about this. Is, you know, again, a really hard subject, and to allow people to have these conversations. Sierra, Rethinking Schools, though, I mean, where should everybody go?
So come to our website, rethinkingschools.org. You can subscribe for our magazine there. You can also sign up to be on our newsletter, our email newsletter, so that you can find out about upcoming events, our magazine issues. We send out a lot of articles that are posted on our website. We also send that out via email. And if folks are interested in submitting an article, check out our website for submission details. We love hearing your stories and supporting you and crystallizing them for publication. You can also start a study group. We have free downloadable discussion guides for some of our books like Teaching for Black Lives, new teacher book, Teacher Unions and Social Justice. And actually right now, applications for the Teaching for Black Lives study groups are open through our Zen Education Project. You get free copies of the book, a Rethinking Schools magazine subscription, access to study group only webinars, and connection to a network of other study groups across the United States.
Oh, Rethinking Schools. There it is. Busting pencils, truly. Johnny and Tim, Dr. Sierra Kaler-Jones, thank you so much. More Johnny and Tim, break it down when we're back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
If you dig into the history of the LGBTQ plus movement in our state, you may be surprised by what you find. The first public call to get rid of restrictions against gay people was discussed by Wisconsin officials in 1966, not long after voters elect several openly gay leaders for the first time. But a 1982 law stands out as Wisconsin becomes the first state to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation. An extraordinary history of Wisconsin pride. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
That's what we do, talk about the generations. Yeah, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. The announcement, Rethinking Schools, Busted Pencils, back together again. We never broke up. It's that darn pandemic, Johnny Lupinacci.
Things dissipated and then it comes back together. And then honestly, you know, like it's an organic thing here. We're having conversation, listeners, and we're working with teachers and different people in the community about education, right? And particularly the political climate for public education, you know? And, you know, Sierra spoke about it here tonight, and we often talk about it here on Busted Pencils, but, you know, real attack on being able to teach, you know, what's going on in the world, to teach history, to teach, you know, the sometimes, oftentimes controversial stuff that helps us to be able to think critically about the world, to expand our empathy, to, you know, to increase our EQ. We talked about that the last couple of weeks, our, you know, capacity to both have reason and emotion. So really important stuff. And it's just fitting, right? So many of our callers, so many of the teachers that we talk to who listen to the show have said, hey, where can we get more information to teach about and fill in the blank? You know, Tim, we've talked, we've been doing this with you. You've been doing it longer than I've been doing it with you. But, you know, since I've been with you, it's been about COVID. It's been about Black Lives Matter. It's been about, you know, guns in schools. It's been about, you know, LGBTQ plus community inclusion and safety for all of our students. We've had all of these kinds of topics, and it just made sense, you know, in our planning. We were like, you know what? Rethinking Schools is always there,
right?
Listening, always there, providing stories and expert teaching from around the country, right, on how these conversations are happening in classrooms in ways that are both aligned with curriculum, but like our guest tonight, Sierra, talked about, in ways that are about critically engaging, asking questions, you know, thinking openly about what's possible in our world, you know? And so, Tim, it's a special night. There's lots of special things to come. As we get going, though, right? You know what else is going on? right now, Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win giveaway is on. Download the Civic Media app and listen throughout the day for codes announced at the top of odd-numbered hours. That's 7-9 and 11 a.m. and 1-3-5 and 7 p.m. to text in for your chance to win. Stay tuned to hear the next code from our guy, Pete Schwaba, at the top of the 7 p.m. hour. Prize includes Wisconsin Dells prize pack each giveaway hour and a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets each day. Entering just once will put you in the running for the grand prize of a weekend staycation or a getaway in a beautiful Wisconsin locale. When you text in, you will receive a bounce back text with a link to check your voter registration and sign up for Civic Media news and podcasts. When you do that, you'll earn bonus entries towards all available prizes.
Man, That, you know, I said I was on the Maggie Dawn show, and yes, there are real winners because we got a text right during that time. It's like, I won. He's like, yeah.
Of course.
You know, yeah. But so, Joe, I mean, you know, we're thinking about this. Yeah, the reconnection of Rethinking Schools and Busted Pencils. And again, they'll be on monthly now, too. We're going to have that as a feature. And we're going to, you know, because they put out so much material, the ability to talk to those authors. When we say authors, though, too, John, I think you got to remind people, the 90% of the authors are teachers.
Oh,
they're teachers. I mean, yeah, right?
Higher.
I know. It's
a requirement.
Yeah, these are our colleagues out there talking about saying, you know, telling the stories of their teaching and trying to teach for, you know, liberation, trying to teach these stories. And you say in this context too of this moment, Johnny, you know, the attack on teaching history, the attack on truth, the attack on so many marginalized groups that have been so rampant these past 2 years. This is where you take a Rethinking Schools and go, man, I don't know if I can do this. But yeah, if you pull out a Rethinking Schools episode, you go to their website, there is a teacher who has taught that, whatever that is, and they've done it in a way that is courageous, empowering, and you as a great teacher, a great educator, knows how to go in there and say, I can do that. I can adapt that. I can move that in this direction. I know how to make that okay for my, but yeah, it's that support. And so it's like having a teacher support group for you when you're trying to engage in critical pedagogy, or in other words, dangerous teaching.
Yeah. And to be a learner leading learners, right? You got, like, we all know that sometimes we know what we don't know. And we don't want to, you know, do any harm as a teacher. So we know we can't not do anything. That's harmful. And we don't want to spread mis or disinformation. So that's harmful. So where do you go as a learner leading learners? You're an educator and you find yourself interested in these, you know, in this largest social uprising of all of our lifetime, social justice, sustainability, all of the nuances and important aspects of that, Rethinking Schools. Like Tim, we've said, it's been in our toolbox since our day ones. You know, I actually had a memory on the show today. I was like, wait, we did that Rethinking School stuff when I was a kid, like in class. And I was lucky to have some great teachers who were doing that kind of work. Also, big night tomorrow night, special one. If you're in the Madison area, head to the Minocqua Brewing Company Tap House. Stop by, you know, during the show. Come on, folks, you know, 7 p.m., be there. And you are 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can be there and you can join the conversation with Tim and I. We'll have a live connection tomorrow to all the folks at the Tap House. And that's the Minocqua Brewing Company, because Minocqua Brewing Company is a sponsor of Busted Pencils, right? Uh-huh. And so get out there and support. Be part of our show tomorrow. You know, run through there. Have a soda. Have a brew, right? Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. If you're not there and you want to grab a Minocqua brew, go to minocquabrewingcompany.com and order their beer. They ship to everywhere except for a few places, and one of them is nearby me in Idaho. But I still order my Minocqua brews to Washington, where I am. We could all, you know, crack a Minocqua brew together. You can hoist them up, and we can have a conversation about public ed. We got great guests. Tim, what a night. I'm excited about Rethinking Schools. I'm excited for tomorrow. Man.
Yeah, man. You can hear it, too. Yeah, we are truly busting pencils. I wanted to say to Sierra, I didn't get a chance, you know, thank you. We always say thank you for busting pencils. Thank you for Rethinking Schools and busting pencils. And that goes for everybody listening out there. See y'all tomorrow night.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we'll discuss how Republican legislators took a bipartisan plan to improve literacy and turned it into yet another unfunded mandate.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.